This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear, especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Through the Ringer. I'm your host, Tate Frazier. It is Tuesday, so you know what that means. We got Cousin Sal in the building. Sal, good to see you.
I love it, Tate. Good to see you, pal. Wait, let's keep this here because this is the picture they put right, on Fandle on the social media. Right. And hold that pen out. Why do you have a pen anyway?
I don't know. I just like having it. I feel like I could write something down that if you tell me something that's important,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Mother's Day card for mom.
Oh, that'll be good. Yeah, it's coming up right now. We got a lot that we're going to talk about on the show. Okay. And we usually do this through my favorite game, Over Under Reactions. Are you ready to play?
I guess so. It'd be too late to change it up now.
That's right. Yeah. I don't think our producers, directors, and everybody in the back would like that. So let's start with this one, Sal. An easy one. Yeah. I say to you, the NBA champion will come out of the Western Conference this year. Over or under reaction? What say you?
Ooh, I think it comes out of the West, maybe western part of Boston, maybe.
No teams in the Pacific side of the country or Pacific time zone
right,
in
that's
the NBA
true. That's
playoffs
true.
At this point.
I call fix.
Yeah.
I think I don't like that.
They've
at
turned
all.
On the time zone.
Right. Yeah. You know, I a couple weeks ago, I picked Boston over Denver at plus 550. So I have to stay with Boston. I thought Denver was, you know, they're a little more beatable as we saw early in this series. So I thought they would be the tough one to get four out of. I think the Celtics now are the ones that are going to be fresher with these new series. They're going to be Cleveland and four or five somewhere in there. And that's why Fandle has them at even odds to win. But if you like the other teams, like I mentioned, Denver, Minnesota, you can get 5 or 6 to 1 and hope that the Pels and Mavs don't show up.
Yeah, I think there's a chance that you can get some great value here in the Western Conference if you believe in one of these teams. So something to keep an eye on. Next one, Sal.
Yep.
Staying in the NBA, the Lakers, Clippers, Suns, and 76ers all need to blow up their rosters over or under reaction.
Oh, wow.
That's what Bill Simmons is saying.
I think it's a little bit of an overreaction. Like, all of them?
Yeah.
How do they all blow up their team?
They have to blow up their teams. It's
really?
Over. Yeah.
And then who are they replaced with?
Maybe some of the other people that, you know, that got blown up.
Oh, I see. You just blow them over to the other side.
Yeah,
right. Just not on the West
It's like
Coast.
A migration of sorts.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I don't think there's enough players to replace these guys. I think unless you go to
He
Ice
said
Cubes,
Bucks, Heat, Pelicans. There's a lot of options.
All right. I get what he's saying. The 76ers. I'll try to help him along with his NBA analysis. So I think what he's saying is, like, the 76ers aren't going to win with Embiid. But, again, like, who do you move? You'll just end up with Ish Smith for the 14th time. So I don't know what all these teams are supposed to do. I would say about two or three of them have a shot of competing without their main stars right now.
And it does feel like Maxi and Embiid, you just add another star.
Right,
you don't blow up
easier,
the roster
right.
of those two guys.
Everyone's
Maybe you just
different.
Add Paul George.
Yeah, because the Lakers are right. They sure blow it up, but LeBron rules whatever's left of the Western hemisphere here on the coast there. So I don't know.
And he might pick a new teammate this summer at Team USA. So
that's right.
That'll be fun.
There you go.
Staying in the NBA, the Knicks, Sal, have better sideline celebrities than the Lakers, over or under reaction. Obviously, we're past the Jack Nicholson era. era. We're now into the New York Knickerbocker era, and there's a lot of people that are very excited.
Yeah, I think this has been the case. I'll say under reaction, this has been the case for a while now since Jack stopped showing up.
And Leo didn't really take the baton. That's what people
hoped.
When
I say Jack, I'm talking about our producer, Jack.
Oh, that's right.
He has very long legs. He would trip the players. It was exciting. But yeah, Tracy Morgan, John McEnroe, Ben Stiller, John Stewart, who, by the way, speaking of the sports guy, stole the sports guy's meme.
Yes, stole his corner.
Very upset when Maxie hit the winning shot, right? And that crazy comeback win didn't matter much. But yeah, we got to get that meme back for Simmons.
I told Bill this on Saturday. He's actually in great company. You got crying Jordan, you got crying Simmons, you got crying Stewart.
Right.
Those are three good, you know, it's good company. Three's company.
Of crying memes.
Right.
I love it.
Yeah.
So, one more.
Yeah. Who will be the last one? Maybe us. We'll see what happens. Yeah. Sal, I think you could do it.
Okay.
One of those cutaways at the Tom Brady roast. You could have just started crying
there. That's true.
Like, you were so upset about how much fun they were having on stage. That
could have
been a moment.
It did seem like a lot of fun. All right,
Maybe next time
I'll cry about having to lift my neck because I looked at the screen the whole time in the front row.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Let's do some hockey talk, Sal.
Okay.
The Toronto Maple Leafs are the Cowboys of the NHL, over or under reaction. Stephen A. Smith called them this about 3 years ago, and they lose in another game seven, four
Stephen
straight.
A. Smith. I mean, God, why would I argue that?
Yeah.
That's an overreaction. Imagine I'm saying that a Stephen A. Smith take is an overreaction, but I'm going to give the Maple Leafs fans some credit here because I don't feel like as a Cowboys fan I go through what they did. I mean, we have a 12-win team every year that fizzles in the second week in January, much different from what you're dealing with Toronto. And you say, what did they lost four straight game seven? That's
crazy.
Insane to one team. So no Austin Matthews in some of those clutch games. He came back, tried to play in game seven. Didn't make a difference. They're in a league of their own and a country of their own, too. That might be a racist thing that Stephen A. Smith is saying.
Yeah, I actually feel bad for Canada. All they want is a cup.
Right.
They want that Stanley Cup, not the ones you buy at Target,
right,
but the ones that you win by playing some good hockey. So hopefully they get it one day. Next one, Sal. 2024 will be a make or break season for Coach Prime. Mm. The line is 5.5 wins. Yes, -122. No, +100. First season in the Big 12. And a lot of former players are chirping now, saying they did not have a good experience with Coach Prime. What do you see here? What do you think?
I am going to go no again. I went no last year. I went under 2.5 conference wins last year in the Pac-12.
And they beat TCU and people were coming at
you,
Sal.
They won their first two conference games. I'm like, oh my God, I'm screwed here. I'm dead to rights. But then it was just everybody was like, you're an idiot. Why would you bet against Coach Prime? Even Coach Prime was like, trust me. Nobody trusted me. It's like, all right, I'm sorry. Can I cash out? I'm like, wait a minute. They lose to Oregon by 36. They lost and they end up losing to everyone. I feel a little bad for the son. Shedeur Sanders was +450 to win the Heisman. Seems like a lot of pressure unnecessarily because I don't think he's going to get there.
Well, he's tweeting as well. So you got both the Sanders.
Oh, he's tweeting.
Yeah,
okay.
So he's tweeting through it. Shiloh, all the Sanders family, they're online. They're tweeting through it. So something to keep an eye on here in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Next one, Bronny James. You've heard that name before.
Yeah.
Being invited to the NBA Combine is the apex mountain for Nepo babies. Overreaction or underreaction? What are your thoughts there, Sal?
I feel like Bronny James has a better shot at making it pros playing for Colorado and put Shedeur Sanders back on USC. First of all, I love this apex mountain thing.
Mm-hmm.
Can I use that?
That's a good idea.
Did you come
right?
up with that?
Yeah.
You came up
with
that term? I really like that. As a Nepo cousin myself, I've been invited to places I don't belong. This place of being right there at the top of the list. Does any
you watch
of it
football
matter?
With Tom Cruise once upon a
That's
time?
That's true. Yeah.
that was the moment.
He was that time he was invited to a place he didn't belong. But from the good side. This is a formality, right? Mm. We have enough tape on Bronny. He's averaged 5 points a game at USC. So either a team is going to draft him out of respect to LeBron or they're not. So fine, let him go to this combine.
And he has to do a lot of people are talking about, will he sit out certain things? This year, the NBA is mandating that you have to do all the measurables and you have to do all the interviews and things like
that.
So he cannot avoid any of the smoke. So
if he's celebrating Taco Tuesday early, they're like, hey, off the sidelines.
Right.
You got to jump and see how high you
can.
Yeah,
exactly. There will be tacos. So that'll be tough. Last one, Sal. Belichick and Robert Kraft looked as awkward as two divorced parents at their kids' school function at the Tom Brady roast. They took a shot together. Over or underreaction?
I'm going to say an underreaction. I don't know if their kid was Brady or
Gronk,
who was about to be expelled from show business, but I don't know what happened there. In the room, it seemed seemed like a nice moment. You were there. I was there. They got together. They did a shot. I would, if they really loved each other, they would do a shot of carrot and ginger smoothie provided by Tom Brady.
TB12 method.
Yes, that stuff is disgusting. So that's how you know if men have come together.
It was also a great sign that live television works, because I think Bill Belichick did the calculus in his mind in real time, where he's like, if I don't go over there and take a shot and do what Kevin Hart is asking of me, I'm going to look really bad. Exactly. So good job by Bill Belichick. Good job by Robert Kraft. It was a nice moment. Let's go and call the captain. Let's do our Riverboat question of the week, Sal. We're talking about the Brady roast. So let's ask a simple question. The captain says, who won the Tom Brady roast?
Oh.
First up, Tom Brady, best odds, 2-1. Nikki Glaser, 5-2 odds. Bill Belichick, 10-1. Randy Moss, 8,100-1. Mm. And the field at even odds. What'd you see, Sal, and who won the roast in your opinion?
Well, I love Jeff Ross, right? And
yeah.
If he ever saw this and I didn't say he won, he would be very upset.
I heard some rumblings that he came in as an O.J. Simpson character.
He did.
And he had a couple jersey options. One of them was Juiced, spelled like J-E-W.
J-E-W-C.
Yeah,
yes,
right. I thought that was a good one.
Yeah, he went with the
Juice is loose.
So I should probably say him, but I don't care. I'm sorry. I'm going to say Nikki Glaser. I thought she was terrific. She just nailed it, everything like a sniper. Bang, 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 right up and down the line there. You know, Patriot fans, though, I would say was the actual winner. Honestly, like aside from the Super Bowl wins, like this was the event to be at. All of the personalities you grew up with and loved getting together, being themselves for the first and really only time. You'll never see it again. And one more story, Sean O'Malley, another winner.
Yes.
UFC legend, right? He made $20 without even fighting on Sunday night because I went up to him and I said, hey, this is for you. This is your cut of my winnings when I bet on you a few months ago.
Nice.
And he took it. He took the money.
Yeah, you thought he might laugh or something, but you know, he was going to cash into that. Yeah, so I'd love to see that.
So he's a winner.
I like that as a winner. We got the picture there for you to take a look at. Yeah. I will say, I think Patriots fans were the winners. I told you this story as I was just with the common folk coming into the forum. As we're walking in, there was a lady with like a grocery bag of 10 to 12 Tom Brady jerseys and had a Sharpie pen with her. And she was expecting Tom Brady to sign all of those jerseys. Security was telling her she couldn't bring in the jerseys. She said she flew all the way from Boston to get Tom Brady to sign these jerseys.
Wow.
So I hope that he was able to find us some autograph time for this lady. But
so let that be a lesson. If you spend $120 on a Southwest flight, it doesn't guarantee you that the greatest of all time is going to sign every piece of clothing you ever bought.
It was like why I learned a lot about the Patriots fans last night, and she was one of them
that
really stood out.
What a jerk Brady is for not signing her clothes.
I know. Hopefully next time. And now, Sal, I can turn it over to you because you're going to set some lines for us.
I'm not going to do it.
Oh, you're not going to do it? Okay,
here we go. Take total number of days before you forget the name of the Kentucky Derby winner. 2.5. Now, I think we're past 2.5. Saturday to Tuesday.
Right.
We're right in there. Over, under. Do you remember the name now?
I know Mystic, right? That's spelled with a K. Mystic is in there. Yeah. I unfortunately go immediately to Mystic River, the movie.
No, it's not Mystic River. That is a movie. It's not a horse.
So I'm going to take the under. Yeah, I already forgot.
The Derby.
Great race.
It needs a new publicist, I think, the Derby. Mystic Dan was the name,
Mystic
right?
Dan. There you go.
It should last long enough to be able to do
I remember Sierra Leone. Close.
Well, wow. That one, the second place horse always gets remembered.
Yeah. That's kind of how it
but
works.
But imagine. The way Mystic Dan doesn't even get in there to be.
I know Mystic Dan won the Oaks as well, whatever that means.
That much you know, but you can't remember that it won the Kentucky, the biggest race.
Take the
okay.
Under.
All right, not going to be doing Trotting with the Stars anytime soon, Mystic Dan. Sorry. All right, which matchup will be a bigger blowout in the end? Celts Cavs or Kendrick and Drake? There's beef. Oh, there's beef.
So much beef. I'm going to go with Celts Cavs minus 200. I think it goes bad. I think it goes bad quickly, especially the Cavaliers. I was telling you before, Richard Jefferson, some of the Cavs guys, they're coming out and saying Cavs in 7.
Mm.
I don't like the energy. It feels like the wrong move. Maybe you try to sneak up on the Boston Celtics. You don't go out talking that talk. So minus 200, I'll take
All right,
that.
I'll throw a third one in there. Jimmy Butler, Pat Riley.
Wow.
He said shut up unless you're on the floor.
I like that from Pat Riley.
You do.
Yeah, I had some texts today that were like, Pat Riley's telling the truth. I think people like it, so good for Pat
Riley.
Yeah,
people like when the truth is told, so very rare. All right, last one here. Over under 10:51 a.m. Pacific time on Sunday before Tate wishes his lovely mother a happy Mother's Day.
Shout out to my mom, Billy Frazier, first grade teacher for 30 years. Love her to death. She's getting flowers, so they're hopefully going to be delivered before then.
Okay.
That'll be about 1 o'clock on the East
Coast.
That's
different. I'm not talking about the card that you prearranged last week or whatever.
Yeah, you're saying this is a separate text. Maybe I give her a FaceTime. I get up around 8 o'clock, and then 9:30 I can get a FaceTime in. So I'll take the under.
Okay, but that's still kind of late for her to not hear from you, right? She's on the East-ish coast.
You're going to be upset. Okay. Hopefully the flowers get there.
All right. Well, no chance either of our moms are watching right now, but let's wave to the camera.
Let's wave to them. Okay. Thank you guys so much. Oh, and stay tuned in, Mom, because after the break coming up, we'll have Cousin Sal back and we'll do some live.
It's tuned in. She's your first grade teacher.
Yeah, I know. I can't
learn
speak.
Them that much.
It's Henderson, North Carolina. We'll be right back after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
Welcome back to Through the Ringer. We're here with Cousin Sal, and now we're going to do some line look ahead, Sal.
Over under reaction. Oh,
no,
we did that already.
Okay. Yeah, we're done.
How did that go?
It was all right.
Okay.
Some people liked it. Bronny James did not. So
we didn't get
a lot
of letters.
Yeah, sure. The lawyers are going to be coming after
he
us.
Well,
we got to talk about the NBA, so let's do it. Let's do some NBA line look ahead. And let's start with the Boston Celtics taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Celtics -3,000 in the series. That is not a typo. Cavs +1,120 in this one. This is going to be something to see, Sal. So first and foremost, do you have like a big picture take? Do you think it is going to be a sweep? I mean, based on these odds, it's what it looks like.
My big picture take is the Cavs knocked themselves out for nothing coming back from down 18
right.
against Orlando Sunday and won this. And now look, -3,000, that's embarrassing. So I think the only way to play this series is do the Celtics win in 4 or 5, plus 140 for 4, plus 170 for 5. I'm going to say 5. I think it's hard to sweep at this stage in the game. And you got a guy in Donovan Mitchell who scores 50, can score 50. So there might be one game he has in him. You know, Cavs win game 3, they get the home crowd excited, and then blow game 4 and 5 back in Boston.
And it does feel like this Boston Celtics team, like the core group that has been there, Tatum, Brown, you know, Derek White, these guys, it does feel like there's some times where they take their foot off the gas. Mm-hmm. So I think a gentleman sweep would probably be the proper play.
Yeah, just don't take it off twice, right? we don't need this going 6.
Please don't take it off twice. I also want to look at some track to the future here. Let's look at some of the player props in this first game. I have one for you I want to throw your way. Darius Garland, under 1.5 threes. He has not looked great so far in the postseason. And if you take that number, you can get it at +120. Do you like that
one? For the whole series?
No, just for game 1.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
For the whole series, I think that would be tough.
Wow. Darius, don't spot up at all.
Don't take any threes, Darius.
Yeah.
But yeah, for game 1 here, I think Darius Garland under 1.5 threes +120.
Sure. I have something written down that you can't bet, but I think he has a put back layup at the buzzer forcing overtime in game 3, the one I mentioned that Cleveland wins.
Yeah.
Because on FanDuel, they have all kinds of overtime bets.
Mm.
+260, that one game in the series will go overtime. So that's what I'm going to do. You can bet pre-series and in-game for overtime. But don't forget the race to 10, my favorite bet of all.
Yeah.
The parlay kid who hit last week with Milwaukee over Indiana is taking Cleveland, and we're jumping on it. We're doing it on Twitter. Get him on FanDuel +150 to score 10 before Boston.
I like that. They also, if you go to FanDuel Sportsbook, I mean, they got a race to 8, Cleveland +142, race to 15, race to 20. Still waiting for the race to 69.
I got to figure that out.
I got to get in there. Come on, FanDuel, help me out. But, I just think this is going to be a series that might be a little bit boring, but hopefully Cleveland has something in their back pocket to make it fun.
Just score 10 points first. Yeah. I don't care what they do the rest of the time.
You don't care after that. That's right. Let's look at the next series. We got the Thunder -130 taking on the Mavericks +106. This is going to be a fun matchup between two teams that are trying to show the world they can actually make a run. And Waz, the Ringer's very own, said that the winner of this series will go on to win the NBA championship, Sal. So he's got a lot of faith
Waz
in both these teams.
Up with his brain, because I don't think he's got this right.
You don't think so?
I'm going a little, you got to pay a price here, but I'm betting that this series goes over 5.5 games. I actually think this will be a good series.
Me too.
You got to pay 160, but if it's 2-2, it's a win, right? Because it has to be, you understand, if it's 2-2, it's got to end up 4-2 or 4-3.
Right.
Either of those numbers is over 5.5. Plenty of hedge potential. I like Dallas for the series. I just think a little too much experience. I think SGA is 1 year away from making a long run or a deep run, however you want to say there.
Right. Youngest team to win a series in the playoffs is based on their starting five's age. So the Thunder have already gotten over one hump. Let's track to the future, look some of the player props in this series. Is there anything that stands out to you, Sal? Anything you like that looks tasty?
Yeah, I'm going to go, well, look at me. Of course, it's a lot. The whole world looks tasty. Look how fat this neck is.
No, it's some good food out there.
Damn it. I'm going to go Kyrie, most threes made in the series at plus 170. Luka is the favorite at minus 150. But if you look back at that other series, first of all, Kyrie's starting to shoot more threes. He had 22 made threes. Luka had 16 against the Clippers. He takes a lot, though, Luka. He really does take a lot. He was 1-for-10 in that clinching game against the Clippers. So maybe cuts back a little. Doesn't need it from him. Give me the plus 170. Kyrie, 6-2 games versus OKC.
And if you're a fan of the Race to 10 and you love the Against All Odds crew, you guys will not be live doing this one. But if you're just looking at the numbers on FanDuel Sportsbook, Race to 10, Dallas Mavericks plus 106, Thunder minus 136. If you had to guess, would you take the Mavericks there? Is there any value?
Yeah, sure. All right, I would take the Mavericks there.
Right.
Yeah, I like the Mavericks. But we're really focused on Cleveland.
Yeah, just stay locked in on Cleveland. Yeah, you got to stay locked in on Cleveland. So that'll be good. Let's do some NHL. Let's talk about some hockey. We got Rangers taking on my Hurricanes. And you heard me, so I said my Hurricanes. Rangers minus 134 here. Hurricanes plus 112. Rangers lead the series 1-0 already. We got game two happening tonight. What do you see here and what do you like?
I have to root for your Hurricanes, even they beat my Islanders there.
I know, right? You got to pull for who beats you.
Yeah,
that's the rule.
I think they win anyway. I really do. The Rangers took, they had a weird power play. The Hurricanes had like one of the best penalty kills in the league this year in the regular season, and the Rangers scored power play in 9 seconds and in 14 seconds. I don't see a lot of that happening again. I think the Canes bounce back and eventually win this series in 6-4-2. Jake Guentzel, one or more point in every game, pays plus 290. So I like that as a prop
there. I like it as well. And I'm watching hockey, Sal. I just want you to know that.
You've been there? You've been in that arena?
Yeah, I've been there. I was actually in 2006 when they won. I went to game five. So,
wow.
Yeah.
You got to get back there. You're all the luck.
They don't want me
needs.
There. I do want to just do like, you know, they ratchet up the siren in the building. I would like to do that. That would be fun.
Oh, I think you could do that.
Yeah, I could do that. I think.
Race to 69 goals led by Tate Frazier.
Yeah, that would be great.
53 overtimes.
Yeah, let's get that going. Next NHL game, we got the Avalanche minus 104 taking on the Stars minus 115. Game one is about to happen, Sal. The Avalanche, hopes are still alive for the Denver and the Avalanche to maybe both win NHL and the NBA championship. So that's something to keep an eye on. What do you see in this one?
I like Denver. Well, I have Denver at plus 750 to win the cup. I bet that a couple weeks ago when they lost the first game of that first round series. And I have Nate McKinnon 12-1 for the Conn Smythe. Colorado won 3 out of 4 in the regular season, 20 goals in 4 games. So just an offensive barrage. They have the rest advantage. They finally have a steady goalie for the first time in a while. They have to kind of win this early because the Stars are, I couldn't believe this. I read this like 4 times. They're 8-0 in game sevens, the Stars. So don't let it go 7 or don't show up. I'm going to say Avs in 6.
I like these game 7 stats that we got going, you know what I mean, with the Maple Leafs and the Bruins with 4 straight, and now we got the Stars can handle business in a game 7.
I think
7.
They make them up. Honestly, they seem like so
does
outrageous.
Anyone ever fact check these
no,
stat
No, why
guys?
Would anybody check
it? Yeah, because they're the ones that are checking it.
Right.
So they can just make up and say anything.
Sure.
It all sounds good.
Yeah.
So that's smart. All right, we're now we're going to go from the ice to you know, the MLB, and we're going to do some line look-aheads here. We got the Astros taking on the Yankees. This is in New York. Justin Verlander versus Luis Gil. Astros minus 102 in this one. Yankees minus 116. This will be a fun game. And obviously the Astros with Justin Verlander, that's going to send a shiver up the spine of Yankees fans. What do you see in this one?
Yeah, they don't give you a lot of value in Verlander anymore. And the Astros had won 5 out of 6 before dropping 2 to Seattle Saturday and Sunday. I still think there's good value, though, in the Yankees. I bet Gil last week had a career performance against the Orioles and Corbin Burns. Yankees coming off the sweep. Not, you know, like I said, not a ton of value in Verlander anymore. Judge and Stanton, 6 career home runs off of Verlander, even though they're batting under 200 against them. But give me the Bombers from the Bronx to eke this one out.
I like it. That'd be fun. Let's do a track to the future MLB version. Regular season home run leader, Pete Alonso is the favorite. So I know you're happy to see that. Plus 440. Shohei Ohtani plus 480. Alvarez plus 700. Judge plus 850. And then we start getting into some larger numbers there. But is there anyone, Alonso, obviously, that's close to your heart?
That's my guy.
Yeah.
And, you know,
do you take it? Is there value there?
Well, he'll join the home run derby and that'll screw up his swing for the rest of the year from August on. But I, of course, rooting for him. him. I'm going to go Marcell Ozuna. I gave this out on Cousin Sal's winning weekend at 12-1. Trout was my guy. Then he got injured. So there are four guys with 10 home runs. Trout's one of them. He's hurt for a while now. Ozuna, Ohtani, and Gunnar Henderson are the others with 10. But I like Ozuna on the Braves. He hit one out Sunday. Really solid odds, I think, at this point. I mean, you got...
I didn't even read his odds. That's how solid they are. I had already given up.
12-1. I don't know if that's it, but you got a guy like Alvarez at 7-1 who's right. 3 off the lead, so it doesn't really make sense to me.
Yeah, I like that number, plus 1,200. Let's look at some college football. So we got some win totals and conference championship winners that are happening that are put up on FanDuel Sportsbook right now. You can look at the Big Ten, and the reason why we're taking a look is because the Big Ten is brand new. We got Oregon joining the league, USC, UCLA, and Washington. If you look at the odds, Ohio State is the favorite, plus 165. Oregon, the newcomer, plus 210. Shout out to Archie up there.
That's right. My son's up there.
He's going to be excited about that. But do you think one of these newcomers, I mean, USC plus 2,300, Washington, where are they? Plus 5,000.
I can't believe that. They're 50-1 odds to win the. I mean, this just Penix went to the national must have been good.
Yeah, went to the
he threw me a touchdown pass. Lost
their coach
to
Alabama, so maybe that factors into
it. 50-1. My God. Are they going to recruit anyone? All right. I'm going to go Oregon plus 210. I mean, that's my son. We got to go. That game, Oregon, Ohio State. In Eugene, October 12th. Let's go, Tate.
Yeah,
me, you, Mikey Meatballs. We'll take everybody to D3. We'll go. We'll bother
Where
my kid.
Where do you fly into when you go to Eugene?
Eugene, right there.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You got to have an airport and everything. Yeah. I mean, you could take a bus if you want, whatever you want to do. You'll do a keg stand outside the student union.
Yeah.
But anyway, October 12th. I love that the Ducks are second and Michigan's kind of out of the mix. Not really out of the mix, but, you know, they're they're, what are they, fourth,
plus
even right behind or right with Penn State, who can't even crack the top two with Michigan out of there.
And Penn State has the proclivity to be a team that's in the conversation, but then they play the team that they're in the conversation with and
that's
completely
all.
Lay down.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
They so everyone but the
Ohio State, Oregon, though, that's a nice little rivalry that's brewing.
Let's
obviously,
go.
Oregon went there to Ohio State, to Columbus a few years ago and beat them, so...
Right.
Something to stay
And that
on.
Was the first national championship, right?
Yeah,
Is that
right.
what you're talking about? Yeah.
Well, no, I'm talking about just a regular season game, but
gotcha.
Still a national championship, right?
All right, let me know what you're talking about ahead of time. Yeah.
Next time, I'll let you know. Last thing, Sal, let's do the Tate debate.
Okay.
We talked about the Tom Brady roast. Obviously, this is it feels like a franchise is being set up where it's like the GOAT debate, and you insert the GOAT. Tom Brady was the first guinea pig, and now we're trying to figure out who the next GOAT roastee should be. And I say to you, LeBron James should be the next one, Sal. What say you?
Well, you have to have a sense of humor. And unfortunately, LeBron hasn't smiled in like 12 years.
Right.
You know?
But I think it could break the wall with him. You know what I mean? Where
That'll
it's
break
like,
it. Yeah.
Finally, he's like, look, it's not that serious. Like, why are you building a fake GOAT case? You know what I mean?
What
why does
the,
your
so
son have to
story?
Go to the NBA?
Right. Okay, so Brady had everything. He had Giselle. He has the Gronk thing. There's the Belichick and Kraft and the weird relationships there. What do we have for LeBron?
And the weird relationships in the locker room with you know Edelman and Gronkowski.
Apparently.
We learned a lot about that.
We really did. Maybe too much. But so with LeBron, you got the son, you got the super teams, you got who's the GOAT, him or Jordan.
You got the hairline.
Okay, yeah. I'm trying to think who would be better. I mean, I guess Kelsey, if she played ball, would be that's the coup de grace, right?
Maybe Taylor Swift and Travis Kelsey get roasted together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That could be something.
Even Mahomes would be good because you have the brother, you have the wife, and then you have the Kelsey offshoot. But honestly, Max Verstappen. I mean, that would be my favorite. That
he
F1,
lost this weekend, finally.
F1 legend. I know. You can make fun of him for that.
Yeah.
So many things. That's my guy.
I like that. I will throw out, I said LeBron just because I feel like it would be good for LeBron's image to do something like this, but I do think if Michael Jordan agreed to sit down and have people to roast him, the A-list celebrities that would come through, the spectacle of it all, where he would do it, I think that would
really
be incredible.
Great.
And I think he would honestly talk a lot of shit back, you know, so that would be fun. So.
Pat Beverly hosts. What a spectacle it would be.
I was proud of Kevin Hart did a great job hosting,
really
by the way.
Yeah,
I love
nice
that.
Time.
Yeah, it was a fun time. Sal, you're the best. Where can we find all your work?
Thanks,
and we'll let
buddy.
You go enjoy your day.
Cousin Sal's winning weekend Friday morning on FanDuel TV, and before that, Against All Odds twice a week on the Ringer Podcast.
Ever. Look, that was great. Great times as always. Sal's the best. On the other side of the break here, we have Sirit Sohi joining us, and we're going to talk about some of these NBA games from last night. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear. Especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori Clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
Welcome back to Through the Ringer. We are now joined by the Ringer's very own Sirit Sohi, and we're going to talk NBA playoffs Monday night. Some magnificent play, some insane results, and first and foremost, Sirit, let's start in Minnesota with the Timberwolves taking on the Denver Nuggets. I mean, what in the world? How gobsmacked are you by the result after these first two games?
I'm absolutely stunned. I spent most of this game just with my just covering my mouth, saying, "Oh my god, oh my god, oh right. my god!" Like just the way the Timberwolves just bullied the Nuggets. It was like watching somebody just like put a stick through a bicycle. You know, like they just couldn't get anything going at all. It was. I don't know where to start, but I thought that Jokic could have taken this game. I think that's the thing that I'm most shocked at. I think I look at the coverages and it makes sense that Jamal Murray struggled as much as he did. The ball pressure was incredible, like just a primer defense, all those guys. But the way the matchups were, I'm a little disappointed in Jokic.
Mm. When I close my eyes and I think about this game, I think about Nikhil Alexander-Walker on Jamal Murray. And at one point, he's picking him up full court, and Jamal Murray can't kind of get away from him. And you just see Nikhil Alexander-Walker smiling. Jaden McDaniels was trapping him. You know what I mean? Those two guys were just hounding Jamal Murray. And I think that is what kind of sticks in your mind. And I think you're right. I mean, this Denver team, you go into this game, no Rudy Gobert. He's gone for personal reasons. You know, got paternity leave, going to go deal with his son that's being born. So this looks like okay, we come back home, we win game two, we kind of right the ship in the series, and Minnesota was having none of it, and it started from the jump, and it started on the defensive end, and Jamal Crawford made a great point about the pace. It does feel like the tempo, Minnesota is trying to make them make quick decisions, and they're not able to dictate the tempo, and that's what Jokic is so good at, and I think that goes back to your point. Jokic was not able to dictate the terms of this game, and that was the most shocking part for everybody watching.
I would say it's been a good 5 years since I've seen Jokic get sped up like this. You're just not used to watching him be in his head. Some of the turnovers, even the missed bunnies, you know, it just felt like there was a lot of indecisiveness in terms of, am I going to try to hit Gordon here? Am I taking the shot? You know, you get flashbacks to Gobert kind of two-manning it in the first game and picking off that Gordon lob, but he's not even in this game. And it's just, I mean, I don't even know what to say. I feel like that on top of Michael Malone completely on tilt immediately. The whole team just felt really frustrated. It felt like Minnesota gave him a good hard hit in game one. And they were like, these are going to be the terms of this series. If you want to get into your offense, and Malone said as much after game one, it's not going to be easy. You're not going to walk up into your offense. We're going to make it hard for you. We're going to be, you know, sometimes picking you up full court. And it felt like Denver just decided, no, we're good, actually. Like, we've seen your terms, and we're just going to pass. We don't really want to play like this. It really felt like that. It felt like from the jump, and they're complaining. You know, it's like, you got punched in the mouth. You got to punch back. You can't be looking at the refs right now and saying, hey, it's playoff basketball, and we know how playoff basketball and the regular season has been officiated for the last 6 months or so. And that obviously, like, that really favors the Timberwolves. And it almost felt like we kind of crossed the threshold here where there were, like, the Wolves were also picking up some fouls. McDaniels had a very strange game. Mm-hmm. And Towns was also picking up fouls. But at a certain point, it started to feel like, okay, these fouls are not, they don't feel the same as they used to with Minnesota, where you're like, oh, God, like, Towns, you don't, like, he had a couple where you're like, you really, like, you do really need to reach
and
here.
Did tell him to stop fouling. Yeah, he said, just stop fouling.
But at the same time, it felt like a warning shot mm-hmm. this time. Like, some of those hard fouls felt like, no, I know you beat me here, or I know you could beat me.
Now
here.
You're going to feel it.
I just want you to know that I'm here. Mm-hmm. And that felt like a shift. It felt like there was almost a level of intentionality behind their physicality, as opposed to it kind of getting the best of them.
Yeah, and I think you're right about them kind of breaking. It's like they got punched in the face, and then they're looking at mom and dad and saying, I just got hit in the face. And they're like, well, hit back. And instead of hitting mm-hmm. back, they just kind of stood there and kept taking blow after blow from Minnesota. And Anthony Edwards was signing up to deliver those blows. I mean, so many moments here. We got a Jordan shrug from Anthony Edwards at one point in this game. Also some chatter during that. And I'd always heard from like players, former players. They're like, great players like playing on the road. Anthony Edwards seemed very comfortable on the road in this game, talking to the Denver crowd. And Jamal Murray, I mean, he just looked absolutely shell-shocked. He even threw the heat pad at one point. I mean, are we worried about that? Is there any sort of implication? I saw Kendrick Perkins said he might get suspended for game three.
I mean, I feel like, you know, if you're going by the letter of the law, there almost has to be. I personally just feel like, you know, it's a playoff, so let's just let him have it. But to me, it's not the fact he may or may not get suspended. That is not of concern to me as much as the fact that he actually did that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he actually did that. He just threw a heat pack onto the court in the middle of active play. It wasn't even like the play was stopped at that time. And I don't know, was he aiming for the ref? It was just very confusing. And frankly, I don't think that, you know, when you look back at some of those calls or non-calls, it was not warranted mm-hmm. at all. Especially when you consider some of the, like, the non-whistles that Yoke was getting on the other end too. Where there was one where Naz Reid, spun by him, beat him. Definitely, Yoke had to foul him to prevent the layup. Nothing there. There was another one where it was the same situation with Cat. I don't think that this was a whistle that was, yeah, you can look at a couple calls here or there. And also, man, Yoke's defense. That was another callback to 2019 as well, alongside them being on tilt. Just his complete lack of willingness to get out on the three-point line. They started switching those kind of in order to keep Jokic closer to the paint. But there was one where Jokic didn't even call it out. And it's a Karl Towns three at the top mm-hmm. of the key. And it's like, okay, yeah, I understand some of the game plan was Ant killed us last time. We're going to make other guys hit their shots. Credit to Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Maybe you live with that, I guess, right? But and Naz Reid as well, who's incredible. This is Karl Anthony Towns that we're talking about here. You can't just leave him that wide open. And on top of that, when you switch some of those, you got Jamal guarding Karl Towns now. And Towns, man, credit to Towns. Like, it, on a night that, you know, it started off where Ant wasn't really the one that was, like, they weren't going to let Ant get off. Like, Towns was awesome in that first half.
Mm-hmm. When they needed him to be. And 27 points for Towns, 27 points for Anthony Edwards. It was perfectly split up. Dare I say Gobert theory, because this Minnesota team tonight, they looked incredible. Just joking, obviously. Rudy Gobert is a great player, great defensive player, and they'll be very happy to have him back in Minnesota on Friday, and then they'll play on Sunday. So who knows if we're even coming back to Denver at this point. That's how crazy this series is. So a lot to watch with the Nuggets and with the Timberwolves. Let's look at the Pacers and the Knicks. This was game one in Madison Square Garden. We had celebrities everywhere. And then, of course, we had a lot of questionable calls down the stretch and a lot of people pointing at the officials. So we didn't get to talk but so much basketball. But I do want to start with Jalen Brunson. Four straight games in the playoffs with 40-plus points. He has tied an MJ record. Jerry West has done that six times. Just your thoughts on Jalen Brunson and his ability to kind of will the New York Knicks to wins in the playoffs.
It's feeling Iversonian. Mm-hmm. It's feeling like Isaiah Thomas. But yeah, he's been incredible. And I think that just like this series, I feel like being guarded by Nembhard serves him a little bit better than facing all that length did. I think it's just something that he's a lot more comfortable with. Like, this is just a home game for him. Nembhard's really strong, but he doesn't care. He'll just back you down. He's incredibly strong. He does not worry about shooting over you by any means. And I think McConnell did a bit of a better job on him. You know, there is also another one where he got the three-point foul on Nembhard, and that's going to be something to watch through the course of the series, because he can be a little Dylan Brooksian sometimes. You know, he's just a little over-aggressive, young guy, Canadian. You know, it's just, you know, it's the way that they're built. Sometimes they, you know, they fire back when they shouldn't.
Yeah.
But it was an incredible night from Brunson, and I just don't know, like, maybe they wear him down over the course of the series. You know Nesmith is going to foul him, but I think he's just going to be a matchup nightmare for the Knicks. I mean, he has been a matchup nightmare, and he's going to continue to be.
Yeah, and on the flip side, another matchup nightmare, TJ McConnell, 18 points in 22 minutes, and, you know, he looks like the better point guard right now in this series. Obviously, you know, Tyrese Halliburton is your all-star, your best player, but it does look like a better, well-oiled machine when TJ McConnell's on the court. What does that kind of look like as we get further and further into this series? How much do you rely on McConnell over your best player?
I mean, it's two games in a row right now. And we always knew that TJ McConnell was eventually going to get over the, like, 10-year dry spell, right? It was going to happen.
Yeah, of course. He was going to break through eventually.
Exactly. We all saw it coming. So, that was the biggest problem in the fourth quarter to me in crunch time. It was kind of, I can't believe I'm saying this, but taking the ball out of TJ McConnell's hands,
it was
and
a mistake.
Putting it back in Ty Halliburton's hands. It was absolutely a mistake. But then, you know, the second half came around. The Knicks, remember, they're the Knicks. They start offensive rebounding. We finally see, like, we get our first, like, Josh Hart volley to himself, offensive rebounds. They're off to the races. And all of a sudden, you kind of need Ty Halliburton to be Ty Halliburton. But it was really the bench giving them everything. And I don't necessarily think that that's going to be sustainable. I think they have a lot of streaky role players on offense. So I almost feel like they kind of had to get this one.
Yeah, I mean, I think the bench points ended up, 45 points off the bench for Indiana and 3 points off the bench for the Knicks. Shout out to Tibbs. That's something that he licks his lip when he sees that after a game. But, yeah, this is going to be a fascinating matchup. One last thing, your thoughts on the illegal screen. And just in general, there's a lot of people, you know, you don't call this at this time. Obviously, you know, it's all up into interpretation. What say you when you saw
that?
Were
you getting UConn-Iowa flashbacks? Because right. I definitely was.
Exactly.
I don't think there was even a little bit of enough movement on there at all. You know, like, yeah, maybe, you know, when you slow down a play, people aren't statues. They do move a little bit, but I don't think that it was actually, I think it was,
it didn't feel egregious, right? Getting,
you know, it didn't, yeah. It didn't. Then on top of that, you just had, you know, you had that Ty Halliburton steal where, they got the challenge and they did end up getting the ball, but if they don't have to stop the clock, that's transition opportunity. Then you had the other one that is called a kickball on Nesmith, and it wasn't a kickball. So that was just, oh man, that was tough. It was a really good game, and it feels like the refs kind of just got in the way of it. I didn't love it. What did you think?
Yeah, I don't love it either. And the officials, anytime that we're talking about the officials, unfortunately, it feels like the Philadelphia Knicks series was all about the officiating. One side's like Embiid's a flop merchant. The other side is Jalen Brunson's a flop merchant. And then when that happens, I feel like we can't have a real conversation because of all the name-calling back and forth. So, yeah, it's not the time to call that. I thought it wasn't egregious. I thought Dante DiVincenzo looked like a thespian. Great acting there. Looked like he went to Juilliard and not Villanova. So you know what it is. You know how it goes. But it'll be a fun series. Like you said, it's game one. There's a lot to figure out. There's a lot to fact find in this series. I like Carlisle versus Tibbs as far as the coaching matchup. There's a lot of gamesmanship going on there. So two championship level coaches. We love to see that. We're going to take a quick break when we come back with Sirrett. We're going to talk about the Cavaliers and the Celtics and the Mavs and the Thunder. We'll be right back on Through the Ringer right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Welcome back to Through the Ringer. We're here with Sirit Sohi, and we are talking NBA playoffs. And now we get to talk about a new series, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the conference semifinals in the Eastern Conference. We got the Cavaliers taking on the Celtics. Celtics in game one here, minus 11.5. Total's 209.5. But generally speaking, this series, it does feel like everyone expects Boston to get the sweep here. I think that's a little bit too quick of a jump to conclusion, at least from my vantage point. But Sirit, looking at the Cavs, looking at the Celtics, what do you see in game one, and what do you see for this series overall?
I mean, I don't really see the Cavs making a lot of headway in the series. At the same time, it's like really hard to call a Celtics sweep since we just saw them at least, you know, they gave Miami a game. Granted, it was one of the junkiest games that you'll ever watch. And it was Spo being Spo, and a bunch of three-pointers went up. But I do think that the Cavs have enough defensive resistance and enough pieces to, I think, make it tough for Cleveland, or for the Celtics for three quarters.
I like that.
They just don't have but they don't have a lot going on offense. You know, it's kind of like the Brunson thing, but just like kind of like a strange horror funhouse version of it, with Cleveland, where you're just kind of like, you feel bad for Donovan Mitchell. You're just like, it's like watching his 50 piece. It was just like the most Sisyphean 50 piece I've ever seen. It was just like, man, like, I feel so bad for this guy. I just want somebody to help him. It reminds me, it was like a lesser version of LeBron in game one against the Warriors, like in, I think, in 2018 or 2019, where it's like, this is impressive, but it just kind of, it more is like a, it's giving me a sense of just how undermatched this team is, more than anything else.
Yeah, Cavs won their first playoff series since 1993 without LeBron James attached to it. And I think we have to reiterate that, because that is insane when you think about the organization and how attached to LeBron James it is, especially in the postseason. But the more fun series that's about to start, Mavericks taking on the Thunder. We got game one here, Thunder minus 3.5, total 217. So we got game one. Kyrie Irving has been a revelation, and I think he would enjoy that term in this playoff run so far.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts? Like, what can Kyrie Irving go up against his OKC team that everybody loves, that's young and fun, and make some noise and get the Mavs into the Western Conference Finals? What have you seen from him, and what do you think the Mavs ceiling is this year in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I think Kyrie's just going to keep doing Kyrie Irving things. Like, if there's one thing we know about him, is he sort of operates in his own silo. And when things are going well, he's one of the most electrifying players that you'll ever watch. I mean, I don't know. You might see some, I feel like we're going to see some, like, quadruple clutching against Chet Holmgren, just waiting for him to land and, you know, hitting a shot over him. We might see, like, a spin move in the air, finishing with his offhand over him, kind of like we saw from Jamal Murray in game one over Gobert. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. He'll do his thing against SGA. He's going to have a lot of good defenders on him, you know, between, I would probably start with SGA, but, you know, you got Isaiah Joe, you got Aaron Wiggins. To me, the bigger question is Luka Doncic. I just, like, I feel like you kind of are going to get what you get from Luka, but just what we've seen him from him so far in the playoffs, he's 5 points below his regular season average. He was shooting a career high 38% from three this season. Now he's shooting 23%, and it feels like that knee is bothering him ever since he hurt it against the Clippers. He said the other day that it's just something he's going to have to play through, that it's not really something that he can rest until he gets an elongated amount of time off. And it's just, you know, it's like he was driving a lot also in that Clippers series. Like, despite the injury, his drives went way up, because that's just how you beat the Clippers, right? And he sort of figured out, okay, let me hit the mid-range more, let me not just go for these shots all the time. But he's a little uncomfortable right now, and who is he going up against, of all guys? Lu Dort. Like, if there's ever a guy in the league that was designed to stop him, or to at least slow him down, it's a guy that has the quickness and the strength of Lu Dort, who, like, I will always remember one of my favorite playoff moments of Lu Dort was him just straight up blocking a James Harden step back three. So, you know, James Harden back then in the COVID bubble is like not a bad corollary, I think, for Luka Doncic with
right
the injury.
Yeah, I think that's a great call. And Mark Daigneault was asked about, you know, his defensive strategy against Luka Doncic, and he said, make sure Lou Dort knows what time the game is. And I thought that was one, a very like almost Popovich-esque answer there, but it is a very astute point that Lou Dort is perfectly built, you know, just from a physical standpoint and his quickness to be able to guard and deal with Luka Doncic. We saw Luka apologizing to Kyrie in the last series, saying he needed to step up his play for his teammate. So we'll see what happens. I wonder about the Mavs defense. I mean, they've had one of the best defenses in the country last 25 to 30 games. How did they hold up against this OKC attack with SGA and Chet and, you know, Jalen Williams? I mean, obviously a lot of guys you got to deal with on the defensive end.
They got a lot of guys. You know, I think that I don't think anybody can really, you know, stop SGA, but I think if you're going to, you know, design a few guys in a lab, as far as having the size, the quickness, the ability to slither around screens, Derek Jones and PJ Washington, and mm-hmm. the athleticism too, like, you could do a lot worse than those guys. And the fact that you have two is great. And I'm also really excited to see Josh Green play against like J-Dub as well, especially after what we saw him do to Paul George and James Harden in the first round. I feel like that's just like, that's great batting practice if you now have to go guard like the younger, more athletic version of Paul George. Like, you just kind of got to do it and did like a bang up job as well. So, I mean, this is kind of I was just remembering, I think it was Dallas's first game post trade. And it comes with a lot of caveats because we didn't really know what Dallas was going to look like. It was the first time anybody got a look at them, but they ran OKC off the floor. And it was just dunk after dunk after dunk. I think Daniel Gafford had like two lobs. I think PJ Washington had two lobs. Luka was having the most fun because he was like, oh, okay, you guys just like, it was like we had Derek Lively at home, but he was hurt all the time, so we just got another one. Great. And it was just Lob City, honestly, all game. And that's what I'm probably more worried about. It's like, how are we going to make all of this solely fall on Chet Holmgren? I really felt like they should have made a deadline deal to shore up their big man depth, and they didn't. And I think this is a series where it's going to hurt them.
Yeah, the vertical threat of Gafford and Lively, like you said, in the pick and roll with Luka, that is a really good call and something to keep an eye on. Siri, you're the best. We're going to have you back as the playoffs keep rolling out. Where can we find all your work in the meantime? And then we'll let you go. Enjoy your Tuesday.
You can find me on theringer.com, same place you can find him as well.
Look, we're all on theringer.com. It's all good places. Siri, appreciate you coming on the show, and we'll have you back very soon as we get into the thick of all these series. We have a lot of storylines to talk about. So, again, thanks for coming to the show, and we'll talk to you soon.
Should be fun. Thanks.